been another round of important by-elections. We speak to Wayne Sussman, elections analyst, to get his take on last night's results. Welcome, Wayne.
Thank you, Chris. Good to chat to you again.
Please take us through those wards and analyze the results.
Yeah, we'll go through them by size of area. So we're going to start off in the metropolitan area of Nelson Mandela Bay. There was a key by-election in the northern areas of Nelson Mandela Bay in an area called Arcadia and Bethel's Dorp. This was a DA ward. They did well there in 2021, getting over 60% of the vote, but you already saw the PA make inroads, the Patriotic Alliance make inroads there in the election last year, and it was a very narrow contest. And while the PA will be delighted with a huge growth in the ward, they did fall just short, and the DA held on to retain the seat. So why I think this is important, we know we spoke about a few weeks ago, is the PA shocked the DA in Mossel Bay. And was there this narrative developing? Almost what we saw in conservative white areas in the northwest, where the Freedom Front would just show up in a by-election and take a DA seat off it. Where are we going to see the PA meet the DA in a particularly colored area and just beat them anywhere and everywhere and see the narrative really shift on the road to the local government elections? So the DA held out here by just under 200 votes. They'll be delighted that they're able to stop the PA. But the PA will say, look, it's clear, wherever we go across the country, we are the only party which continues to grow. So I think both the PA will be upset because it would have been a real hammer blow, but it was a very interesting and significant result here that the DA held. And then we next moved to many thousands of kilometers away to Polokwane, the capital city of Limpopo. And there was a by-election where, and this is very rare in South Africa, where a party leader participates in the by-election. This is Julius Malema's home ward, Ward 13, area called Sesheho, Zone 1, and Juju Valley. And essentially, what's very important to understand about township politics in Limpopo, in Polokwane, is that it's a duopoly. It's essentially the ANC and the EFF. These are not areas where Nkonto Sizwe are strong, or DA, or Action SA, or any local parties. It's essentially much of the townships there. It's the ANC versus the EFF. And the EFF beat the ANC narrowly in 2021. Also, when we look at the areas there in 2024, but the EFF increased their majority. They got 57% of the vote. The ANC fell to about 41% of the vote. So the EFF will be delighted. There's been a lot of talk about this. Is the EFF a fading party? Are they a party who has been usurped, being taken over by Nkonto Sizwe, not just in seats in parliament, but in ongoing by-elections and ongoing discussions in our politics in South Africa? So for me, here the EFF will say, look, we still have it. We were able to go into, and just to remind the listeners, Polokwane is one of the few large municipalities in South Africa where the ANC's vote share actually went up in 2021. And here the EFF, admittedly, it is their literal background, their literal backyard, they are able to grow. One interesting thing to note about this by-election is that there was an interesting name on the ballot, and that name was the South African Communist Party. And I spoke earlier about this duopoly, about essentially only two parties really being contestants, having market share in the townships of Polokwane. Well, the South African Communist Party failed miserably. They only got 1% of the vote. I think it is a big decision when any party decides to fight by-elections, but particularly parties, and it wasn't the first election they've ever participated in, but it's the first one since they made the announcement that they're going to run it on their go on their own in 2026. And for them to get 1% is very poor. I don't know how the Brains Trust of the SACP made the decision to contest their first election in Polokwane, and they'll be disappointed about that. So that was in Polokwane. We then, crisscrossing through the nation here, Chris, we go to the Zululand area. We go to just outside the town of Vryheid. There's a by-election in four rural villages. One of the places is Khlobani. This is interesting. I was watching this very closely. This was an Inkatha Freedom Party seat, and they had to win here to ensure some kind of stability in the council. And what was interesting here, Chris, is that Umkhonto esizwe were the most popular party in this seat, in this ward, in 2024. So looking at the districts in the ward, Umkhonto esizwe beats the IFP. And we know that Umkhonto esizwe have been having a lot of squabbles and internal fighting as of late. And I was watching, were they going to use this by-election to reassert the narrative that what happened in May 2024 was not a fluke, but was actually the sign of a greater tsunami to come. And here the IFP held the seat. They grew to got over 50% of the vote. They'll be delighted by that result. And Umkhonto esizwe didn't even finish second. The ANC finished second. They just beat Umkhonto esizwe. And for me, the ANC might not have won the ward, but at least they'll say, look, we've recovered some of the support we lost in 2024. The IFP will be delighted. And Umkhonto esizwe, if I was in the headquarters today, would be saying, how did we go from getting 41% of the vote in a very competitive area in Zululand 13, 14 months ago, but getting less than half of that vote because they got under 20% of the vote? So Umkhonto esizwe will also be concerned today. And we finish our road show, our road trip in a rural part of the Eastern Cape, in an area near the Impikweni Sun, near the town of Pedi, in the Amatole district. This is ANC heartland in the Nkushwa municipality. And what was interesting here is this seat was actually won by an independent. So when an independent doesn't run, they lose this. Essentially, it's very easy for a party to pick up that seat. And this is a ANC heartland. They won 70% of the vote there on the proportional ballot in 2021, and they won 70% of the vote in this by-election. But as I say, as I always say, the ANC can say, rural, the Eastern Cape is behind us, rural South Africa is behind us. Those writing the ANC's obituary should look at results like this in the Amatole district, where the ANC's support is absolutely rock solid. So if I had to take a step back after this road trip, I think even though the DA got a scare in Nelson Mandela Bay, it was actually a good night for the incumbents. The DA, importantly, holding on in Nelson Mandela Bay. We saw the EFF holding on in Juju Valley Sesheho. We saw the IFP increasing the majority in the Zululand ward, and we see the ANC reasserting their dominance in the Amatole district. But the other thing is, and we speak about this week after week, is the Patriotic Alliance came very close to crashing that DA party last night. And next week, there are four by-elections, and the Patriotic Alliance are going to be on the ballot in each and every single one of them. So it's going to be interesting to watch this. But that was my main analysis of what we saw last night.
Okay, so which wards are the PA going for next week?
Well, they are contesting a ward. They're defending their own ward in Sol Plaatje, which is Kimberley, in Ward 1, which is the Roodepan Platfontein area, which is a very interesting part of Kimberley near the Wildebeestkale Rock Arts Centre. Beautiful place that. You're going to see the PA versus the ANC, the DA trying to recover some lost ground. We're going to have a very important by-election in Emfuleni, which is the very important, it's the largest non-metropolitan municipality, sorry, the most populous non-metropolitan municipality in South Africa. It's a traditional ANC stronghold. But you've got the MK, the DA, the PA, and the EFF gunning hard for that second place, trying to hurt the ANC in an area which will be absolutely key for it in the next election. the Sebokeng Township. And then there are two by-elections in the Western Cape. One in the area of Amstelhof in Paarl, a DA area, which the PA will believe they have a very good chance of winning. And then in the Veldtrif area, Dwarskasbos area, where I know a lot of Gauteng people have moved, in the Western Cape, where it'll be the DA versus the PA again. So that's going to be next week, and I'm sure you and I will have a very rich conversation once those results come in, and hopefully by compared to last night, I've had a bit more sleep.
I'm sorry, Wayne. I know you've had a tough week traveling. Now, you are a man of the ballot box, and that's how you believe, and most people believe, a government should change by the vote. But something really interesting has come out of the presidency, the admission that it has flagged the possibility of a coup.
Yeah. So, by the way, to take a step back, if you had to look at the map of Africa, from Northwest Africa to where there are many countries where which have been beset by coups in the last few years. These are developments which happen on our continent. But to date, thankfully, there have been very, very few signs of a military coup or a revolution in South Africa. And I would be interested to see what can be revealed there. I'd be interested to see think tanks take some, as in people who monitor security situations in South Africa. But I was quite startled when I saw Minister Ntshavheni make that claim. Yes, South Africa is beset by corruption, is beset by huge security challenges. But whether that means that a coup, there's a realistic chance of a coup, I'd be very surprised. And look, you also have to look at the state of our defense force. I don't think it is that strong at present. I don't think the morale is that high at present. And I can't think of an actor. And you know, Chris, maybe I hope I don't eat my hat on this one. But I can't think of an actor in our defense force who'd be positioned to be able to lead a coup. Most people on the streets wouldn't be able to tell you who leads our defense force.
Now, other key threats flagged were assassinations, sabotage, corruption, and terrorism. So three out of those four are happening: assassinations, sabotage, corruption.
Yeah, well, sabotage, this is absolutely key. And this, by the way, happens in small ways every single day, whether it's in a township where the sewer or a part of the city where the sewer doesn't get fixed and it's been deliberately vandalized as someone wins a tender. And this has metastasized through the mafias we see over the countries, blocking economic growth, blocking infrastructure spend, blocking service delivery. This is a real and key threat to our country. And then, of course, corruption continues to really hold our country back. It continues to make us unattractive for investment, economically uncompetitive. So these are key things. And then crime. And so what was the third thing you said? Crime?
It was assassination, sabotage, corruption, and terrorism.
Yeah, so assassinations are a real challenge. We know that we spoke about this last week, that there was a ward councillor assassinated. We know that in KwaZulu-Natal, and particularly, by the way, in the lead-up to elections, we see a lot of key figures sadly being assassinated. I hope that's not the case on the road to the 2026 or 2027 local government elections this year, because that undermines what assassinations, by the... I mean, why would a talented person want to serve the public or serve their party if there's a chance that they're going to lose their life? That means that we won't attract good people into politics, won't attract good people to stick their heads up and get involved as business leaders or civil society leaders. So that is something which concerns me. Kidnapping, we're seeing a lot of kidnappings, particularly in, I think, the Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal area. This is very, very worrying as well. If business people are going to come here and get kidnapped, that is something which undermines brand South Africa. So you can have a national dialogue, but if people feel that corruption, sabotage, service delivery failure, etc., is going to continue to reign. All those dialogues, all those roadshows will not bring about the much needed economic growth we desperately need here.
Thank you. That was Wayne Sussman, elections analyst, taking business viewers behind the results at the ballot boxes. Thank you, Wayne, and I'm Chris Stain.